We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
I want to talk about a character who is mentioned in only two chapters of the Bible. She is mentioned one time in Genesis chapter 19. That's the only chapter where she's mentioned in the Old Testament. She's mentioned in one chapter of the New Testament in Luke chapter 17. That's the only chapter where she's mentioned in the New Testament. And as a matter of fact, we don't even know what her name was. But she is important enough that Jesus said we need to remember her. In Luke 17 and verse 32, Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife." Remember Lot's wife. And you know, there are some people that are remembered in the Bible for great things that they did. You think about Abraham, and we remember him because of his great faith. And you think about Job. What's he remembered for? His patience. We talk about the patience of Job. And you think about David, and he's remembered for his great courage as he stood and fought the giant Goliath. And there are some who are remembered for great deeds that they did, like the woman who had the alabaster box. But we remember back and think about Lot's wife, not remembering her for something good that she did, but we remember one bad thing that she did. She looked back. I heard a story about a teacher who was teaching her Bible class, and she was talking to the kids about the story of Lot's wife and how it is that she looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. And one little boy in the class spoke up and said, "Well, teacher, that's nothing. My mother was driving and she looked back and turned into a telephone pole." I heard about a preacher who, while he was preaching, people kept looking back over their shoulder because they had a clock hanging on the back wall of the auditorium like we do. And people kept looking back at the clock because they thought he was too long-winded. And finally, the preacher had enough of it, and he hung a sign over the clock that said, "Remember Lot's wife." Now think about that for just a minute. The story of Lot's wife actually begins in Genesis chapter 13. Lot's wife, her husband Lot, was involved in a dispute with his uncle Abraham over grazing rights. Genesis 13:7 says there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and between the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And Abraham said unto Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, for we be brethren." He said, "We shouldn't fight this way. There should be no strife, and so I've got a suggestion." Abraham said, "We will separate. You go one way, and I'll go the other, and you choose. Whichever way you want to go, I'll go the other way." Genesis 13:12 says that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now you remember the city of Sodom was perhaps one of the most wicked cities in all of the Old Testament. It was particularly known for the sin of homosexuality. So much that today homosexuals are referred to as Sodomites. Genesis 18 and verse 20 says, "The Lord said, the cry of Sodom and the cry of Gomorrah is great, and their sin is grievous." The Lord decided He was going to destroy these cities because of their wickedness. But you remember Abraham was very upset about this because Lot lived there. And so Abraham goes to God and he pleads with Him and says, "Lord, if I can find 50 righteous people in this city, would You spare the city?" And the Lord said He would. And he says, "If I can find 45 righteous people, will You spare the city?" And you remember he goes on and he pleads and says, "Lord, please don't be angry with me, but how about 30? And how about 20? And how about 10? And the Lord says, "I won't destroy the city if you can find 10 righteous people." Apparently, there were not 10 righteous people in the city of Sodom. Now, beginning in Genesis chapter 19, I want for us to remember Lot's wife. Three things I want to remember about her tonight. I want to remember, first, her privilege. Secondly, I want to remember her problem. And thirdly, I want to remember her punishment. Her privilege, her problem, and her punishment. Let's begin in Genesis chapter 19 and verse number 1. "Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, 'Hear now, my lords, please turn in to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way.' And they said, 'No, but we will spend the night in the open square.' But he insisted strongly, so they turned in to him and entered into his house. Then he made them a feast, and he baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, 'Where are the men who came into you tonight? bring them out that we may know them carnally. So Lot went out to them through the doorway and shut the door behind him and said, please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. Then they said, this one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. And so they pressed hard against the man Lot, and they came near to break down the door. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. Now, the first point we're going to notice in tonight's sermon is the privilege of Lot's wife. We want to remember Lot's wife and think about her privilege. She was a privileged woman. Now, somebody says, how? The first thing I want you to notice is that she was privileged in that she received the message of God. Notice verse number 12. Then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? Son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place. This is the message of God. He's warning them to get out of this place. Verse 13, for we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But listen to this. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. Now, brethren, I want you to appreciate with me that Lot's wife was privileged in that she had a message from God. These angels came to her and they warned her. They warned Lot and they warned her, get out of this city because we are going to destroy it. But I also want you to appreciate with me that that warning alone could not save her. Just being warned was not enough to save her. And still today, a warning will not save man. Now, seemingly, some people think it will. Because there are some people who sit in church pews week after week merely listening to the warning about the coming judgment, but they never do anything about it. As if just hearing the warning is going to be enough. Of course, some people don't even do that. Some people don't even listen to the warning, but merely hearing the warning is not going to save you. Ezekiel 3 and verse 19 says, if thou warn the wicked to turn from his wickedness, and he turn not from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. Now, what's the Bible saying? The warning alone is not enough. But she was privileged in that she had the message from God. But secondly, Lot's wife was privileged in that she had the mercy of God. Notice verses 15 and 16. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful to them. Listen, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside of the city. She was privileged in that she had the message of God. She was privileged in that she had the mercy of God. But I want you to notice that neither one of those things alone was enough to save her. The fact that she received the warning, that didn't save her. The fact that she received the mercy of God, that alone was not enough to save her. You're going to see that her salvation is conditional, and it always has been in the Bible. Look at verse number 17. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, the angel said to them, escape for thy life. Listen carefully. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Now, she had been shown mercy by God. But mercy from God was not enough to save her. And you know, the same thing applies to us today when it comes to eternal salvation. We too have a message from God, a warning from God. We too have mercy from God. Ephesians 2 and verse 4 says, God who is rich in mercy loved us, and He sent His Son. But with mercy comes condition. Some people think because God sent His Son, that's all that we have to do. We're all going to be saved automatically because God had mercy. That's not what the Bible teaches. You can learn this lesson from Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. She had a message and she had the mercy, but her salvation is still conditional. Warning alone did not save her. Mercy alone did not save her. But I want you to notice a third thing that does not save Lot's wife. Look at verse 16. Verse 16 says that the angels brought them forth and set them without the city. Now that tells me something. That tells me she had already begun the journey. She had started the journey toward salvation, but merely beginning the journey did not save her. She had laid hold on salvation. She had left the city. She had escaped. She began the journey, but just beginning it was not enough. Now, brethren, there's a lesson for us in that because we have a lot of people today who begin the journey. They hear the warning. They heed the message. They accept the mercy of God, the grace of God. They become New Testament Christians. They obey the gospel. They begin the journey, but they don't follow through meeting the conditions. And we need to learn a lesson from Lot's wife because she began the journey. But merely beginning the journey is not enough. You know, the Apostle Paul at the end of his life, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, he said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." In order to have salvation, we've got to finish the course. I have known many people through the years, and I'm sure you have too. People who have obeyed the gospel. They have become Christians. They have started that walk. They have begun to be faithful to the Lord. But just think through your mind the number of people that you can recall who started the walk who are no longer faithful. You see, it did them no good. In fact, they're in a worse situation now. Peter says it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it and escaped the pollutions of the world, they are again entangled therein. They're in a worse state now. Just beginning the journey is not enough. Now let's read some more. Look at verse 18. Then Lot said to them, "Please know, my lords, indeed now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die." They said, "Escape to the mountains." He said, "Please don't do that to me, because if I go there, something tragic is going to happen and I'm going to be killed." He says, "See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it's a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said to him, "See, I have favored you concerning this thing also, and that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. Zoar means little or insignificant. He said, "Please don't make me escape to the mountains. Let me go to this city. It's a small city. You can spare that city." And the Lord said, "Okay, I'll spare that city." And so they called it Zoar, little or insignificant city. Verse 23, "The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground." Now the first thing we remember about Lot's wife was her privilege. She was privileged in that she had the message of God. She was privileged in that she had the mercy of God. But secondly, in addition to her privilege, I want you to notice her problem. The problem with Lot's wife was the same problem that a lot of people still have today. Verse number 26, the Bible says, "But Lot's wife looked back from behind him." Now, verse 17, the angel said, "Look not behind thee." Verse 26 says, "She looked back." You know, Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven." Just like Lot's wife was to leave that city and never look back, the Lord says when a person becomes a Christian, he has to do the same thing. Don't look back. Now, He doesn't mean physically, but spiritually. I'm not to look back and say, "I like the life I had before. I missed that life. I wish it was that way again." I am not to long for those things. I've died to those things. I've died to that life. I'm pressing on toward the mark and I'm looking for something different. The things that used to matter to me don't really matter to me anymore. And Jesus said, when a man obeys the gospel and he looks back to this world and he longs for those things, he says he's not fit for the kingdom of God. We don't look back. We make a decision and we press on toward the mark. We don't make the same mistake that Lot's wife did. You know, the question has oftentimes come up, why did Lot's wife look back? I don't really know. The Bible doesn't tell us why she looked back. But some people have suggested maybe it was curiosity. And I thought about that. That would be interesting when the Lord says, I'm going to destroy this city, but don't look back. Certainly there would be some curiosity there. What's going on behind me? And I suppose many sins have been committed in the name of curiosity. Somebody may say, maybe she wanted to see if the Lord really meant what He said. The Lord said, don't look back. And maybe she just had to look back to see if He really meant it. You know, if that's the case, she found out the hard way that the Lord means what He says. And there are going to be a lot of people who are going to find out one day the hard way that the Lord really does mean what He says. We had a sermon about that recently. Some people say it was curiosity. Some people have suggested maybe it was children. You know, verse 14 indicates that Lot and his wife had some children who remained in the city. Look what the verse says. And Lot went out, and he spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters. Means he has at least two daughters who remained in the city. And he said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. The King James says one that mocked. The New King James says they thought he was joking. But he had two sons-in-law, which means he had at least two daughters who were still in the city. And some have said, maybe that's why she looked back. She was so torn to think about her daughters who were staying behind her, and it just ate her up to think that the city's going to be destroyed and they're going to die. Maybe that's why she looked back, even though the Lord said not to. It's possible. Maybe that is the reason. I could see how that would tear at a mother's heart. Now, what's the application for us? You know, family has been a stumbling block for many people. There are some individuals who have come out of a denominational background, and they hesitate to obey the gospel because even though they've learned the truth, if I obey the gospel and agree that this is true, then essentially I'm consenting to the fact that my parents were lost and they can't do that. And so their loyalty to their family is holding them back from what the Bible teaches is true. Sometimes there are members of the church who are pulled away from the church because of an unbelieving spouse. Sometimes you've got the children of the Lord who have walked away from the faithfulness to their God and have gone off into man-made denominations because of family ties. But I'm reminded of the words of Jesus in Matthew 10:37, where He said, "He that loveth father or mother more than Me is not worthy of Me. He that loveth son or daughter more than Me is not worthy of Me." Some people have suggested curiosity. Some people have suggested children. Some people have said maybe it was covetousness. Maybe she looked back because of materialism. That is, that the angels got her out of Sodom, but they didn't get Sodom out of her. I think the Bible actually gives some validity to this view. Because in Luke chapter 17, when Jesus mentions Lot's wife, look at the context there. What was Jesus talking about? He was talking about those who are overly concerned with, quote, the stuff in the house. Luke 17:31. He said, don't go back to get the stuff in the house. Now, it's in that context that He says in the very next verse, remember Lot's wife. Think about that. Everything she owned, she had to leave behind her. She knew two of her children were going to die there, at least two of her children. Everything she owned, every earthly possession is about to be destroyed. Could that be why she looked back? I don't know. But brethren, I do believe this is going to be the issue, is going to be the cause of destruction for a lot of people. Covetousness. I think we think sometimes, oh, that's a rich man's problem. And certainly covetousness seems to be a bigger problem for rich people. Jesus did say it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 19:24. But covetousness applies to every one of us. The rich and the poor can be covetous. And you know, you can tell a lot about what's important to a man. You want to know what's really important to a man? You can tell what matters to his heart by looking at his giving. I've got the idea there are going to be a lot of Christians who are going to be lost eternally because of this issue of covetousness. And again, we say, oh, that's a rich man's problem. But you know, in the United States of America, almost every one of us are rich men or rich women. Was it covetousness that made her look back? Maybe. I don't know. I think it would be good for every one of us to look within ourselves and ask myself personally, am I a person who adjusts my, listen to this, am I a person who adjusts my living to my giving? Or am I a person who adjusts my giving to my living? Do I adjust my living to my giving or my giving to my living? I've got the idea a lot of members of the church are going to lose their soul over this issue of covetousness. Now we notice her privilege. She had a message from God. She was shown the mercy of God. We notice her problem. She looked back. Now finally, I want us to notice her punishment. Look at verse number 26. The text says, "But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." You know what this verse tells me? It tells me that God means what He says. In verse 17, the angel spoke four little words. They said, "Look not behind thee. Look not behind thee." Lot's wife did it anyway, and she was punished. Now, a lot of people might be shocked when they read this because, I mean, it's only four little words. Look not behind thee. And it was in the midst of a lot of other words. And it was said at a very stressful moment when a lot's going on and they're busy and they say this and they're telling them to go to the mountain and the angels are grabbing them by the hand and trying to take them out the city. In the midst of all of that, is she really going to be held accountable for those four little words? Surely God is not going to hold them accountable for that little command. And after all, what's it going to hurt really to look back, right? This verse shows me that God means what He says. And whenever I start thinking that this sin is insignificant, or surely I'm not going to be lost for something that small, or I really don't think I'm going to be lost for skipping out on Wednesday night or Sunday night, or whenever I get to thinking that way, I need to remember Lot's wife. You know, I think about this point sometimes, and it reminds me of something in regard to our children. God means what He says. But I think one reason that a lot of children grow up not believing that God means what He says is because a lot of parents don't mean what they say. And parents, we need to be consistent with our children. We need to tell them one thing and follow that. We need to reward them when we say we're going to reward them. We need to punish them when we say we're going to punish them. If I tell my child, if you do that again, I'm going to give you a spanking. If they do that again, I need to give them a spanking. They need to know right now that I, who am the authority figure in their life, really do mean what I say. And when I teach them there are going to be consequences for your actions, they need to realize there really will be consequences for their actions. And that will help them later. I promise you, it will help them later to have respect for the ultimate authority figure of the universe. And that is to understand that God means what He says. And there will be consequences for your actions. You know, Lot's wife is really a great commentary on Romans 11:22. Romans 11:22 says, "Behold therefore the goodness and the severity of God." Can you think of anybody who better epitomizes this? Think about Lot's wife. In this you see the goodness of God, and that He came and He warned her. He gave her the message. When they were being too slack, He grabbed her by the hand and pulled her out of the city to safety and says, "Go to the mountain. Everything will be okay. I will protect you." Surely this is the goodness of God, taking her by the hand and leading her away. But in this I also see the severity of an angry God toward those who disobey Him. Friends, Lot's wife had a privilege. She had a message from God. She had the mercy of God. And today we have that same privilege. We have a message from God in the gospel of Christ. And we have the mercy and grace of God extended to us in the gospel of Christ. Titus 2 and verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." In what sense? How has the grace of God appeared unto all men? You know, sometimes I hear people in the denominational world say, "We are saved by grace. God's grace is going to save everyone." Is everyone going to be saved by God's grace? The grace of God has appeared to all men, but not all men are going to be saved. Now, of course, they would hold out that the most wicked people are going to be lost. But the grace of God has appeared to all men. The point of this verse and the point that I'm making is this. Only those who access that grace are going to be saved by it. Now, what are the conditions to access the grace of God? They are the conditions of the gospel plan of salvation. I've got to hear the gospel, believe it, repent of my sins, confess my faith in Christ, and be baptized in water for the remission of my sins. If I will do those things, I can take advantage of the grace of God. I can be washed in the blood of Jesus. I've got the message, and I've heeded it. And I have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Lot's wife had a great privilege. We've got that same privilege. Lot's wife had a problem. We each need to examine ourselves to see if we have the same problem. Lot's wife received a punishment because she did not correct the problem. We need to learn the lesson. We need to remember Lot's wife.